Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your motherfucking ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 211 of the Stone Age Gamer Podcast for the week of July 20th, 2018. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me tonight is underwater mammal Dan Ryan.
Fuck you.
This is going to be fun. It's time for month two of our summer series featuring our thoughts on Echo the Dolphin for Sega Genesis and Gremlins 2 for the Nintendo Entertainment System. But before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the words Stone Age Gamer in the subject line, and you can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. Unless, of course, you're the dude who keeps spamming our YouTube videos. And I say dude because it's dude. To put this into perspective, in case anybody's been on Stone Age Gamer's social media in the last month or so, Review Tech USA got a review copy of one of Stone Age Gamer's Everdrives, and apparently at some point the Review Tech USA dude used a homophobic slur. And this was apparently like years and years and years ago. And so like either a very small and extraordinarily passionate group of people with clearly a lot of free time on their hand decided to launch a crusade against this dude's YouTube channel. And once Stone Age Gamer, they called out Stone Age Gamer in one of his videos, these people started just flooding the Twitter page, downvoting every YouTube video, leaving a bunch of comments saying, Stone Age Gamer supports homophobia and transphobia and blah, blah, blah. And Stone Age Gamer has officially cleared it up more than once. In fact, this guy made a YouTube video prank calling Stone Age Gamer, trying to like get them to denounce this dude or something. And they basically did, and the guy kept asking questions anyway to try to prove a point that was unprovable. I don't know. So if this person is listening to this show and saying that we support homophobia and transphobia, I mean, if you've listened to Dan and me, you know that's not even remotely true.
Yeah, not even in the... fuck you. Really, honestly, truly... And if that is, if we have given that impression, which we haven't, but if we have, no. If you think that, you don't listen.
I'm really just, the most important thing here. It's time to drop this crusade. I mean, yeah, this guy is like, if we're Z-list internet celebrities, this guy's like a T-list celebrity, internet celebrity.
We have to have at least gotten a Q at this point, Chris.
It's entirely possible that we did, but...
That Metal Gear video that linked to us, I mean, that was...
That was pretty big.
A big deal, and I mean...
Big stuff.
Again, spoilers from last week's episode, but in the future, we've got some time to get there, but big things are about to happen, Chris.
They are.
We're about to hit level L.
Regardless, just stop. If you want to leave us general feedback, we love to hear from you. But whoever this guy is who's dedicated his life to bringing down Review Tech USA, I've never even seen a Review Tech USA video, so whatever. Anyway,
yeah,
Dan, of all the things in the world to focus on,
do something more productive. There are actual people out there who, like, hate gay people.
Yeah,
Go do something about that, because that's unacceptable and awful. Fuck that shit. Like, that's not okay. Scream at them.
Yeah, find something better to do.
Yeah, like, our internet tomfoolery is not the proper avenue for your anger. In fact, like, email us, and we will direct you to where you can place that anger. We'll help you out.
With a smile on our faces.
Yeah. I'll do it with you. I love to bash those guys. Like, they deserve it. Come on now.
All right. Anyway, well, that's enough of that. Dan, how are you?
I'm pretty good, Chris. Minor dental issues aside, as we... we discussed off air. Things are okay. The Persona collab in Puzzle and Dragons has been very good to me. As far as rolling across my accounts, I've pulled every across the different accounts I have. I've pulled every diamond possible. I've gotten the stuff that I wanted without having to spend too much. I still have like 150 something stones saved up for the Super God Fest that should be coming up relatively soon, which is really awesome. Very excited about it. And it's got killer music in the dungeon and lots of really cool stuff. Like, they do, you know, I don't know if we've talked about it before, but like, as with any good RPG style game, there's always like more stuff to add and team composition and what's good for this dungeon and that dungeon and that sort of shit. And in the Persona collab, they've added a lot of skill assist cards and equip assist cards, which is something new for a collaboration. Like, they have cards that you can specifically transfer over awakenings and stats and shit, and there's just a lot to do with it, and it's very cool. Like, it's a very well thought out collaboration between something that I admittedly know jack all about, Persona, and a thing that I really love. And I do, like, this has made me want to check out Persona. Plus, Glenn and Jessica have managed to pull some good shit from this as well, so maybe that's something we can do with the Pain in the Ass-a-thon coming up.
Maybe, possibly. No,
maybe
reprise
Dean and
that.
Matt will be able to pull something that we can work with and do something cool. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, that's fun. You've been playing anything else, or just Pad and Bad Teeth?
Just that, yeah. I kind of took a break after running through Uncharted. I'm going to get back to Horizon here soon. My daughter, Katie, was very excited about the Sushi Striker demo.
Oh, yeah.
she just wanted a demo. She was like, I just want to play a demo. I don't know, fucking check this out. And then for the last week, that's all I've heard.
Did I ever talk about that on the show?
You did.
Okay, yeah.
You did. Yeah. So she is super duper into that, and I watched her play it, and it doesn't look like it's for me, but it looks cool.
I love the absurdity of the plot, but
yeah, it's bananas.
I can't see myself getting $50 worth out of that game.
That's my problem. It feels a little bit overpriced.
Yeah, and like, I get why, because they put
$20 overpriced, maybe? I don't know. Like,
they put so much effort into the presentation of that game, so I get the price. I just don't think they should have done that. Like, the presentation didn't need to be as intense as it is. And it's great, but...
Well, and it's like, I mean, you look at something like that, and is there only $10 less game than Breath of the Wild in there?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, probably not. Like, that, it looks like a game that should have come out at 30.
I mean, Puyo Puyo Tetris is so much more bang for your buck.
Yeah, there's just... We're at this point now where, with the popularity of the digital platform and sales that are ever present, you know, Amazon Prime Day, if in case you somehow were able to avoid the fact that Amazon was having a sale today, you know, there's sales on stuff all the time, and there's a lot of value out there to be had. So when you launch a new IP like that, even if it has a strong marketing campaign, which this one had a decent presence and was, you know, kind of hyped up a little bit, but still, yeah. $50 feels like a bit much. Like, when the Uncharted Lost Legacy game was 40 brand new, man, I don't know. Like, I can't justify $50 on that. I can't.
Yeah, what it really boils down to is, I mean, if you enjoy this puzzle game, the great thing about puzzle games is that they're infinite. You know, you play that until you get bored of it. There is nothing to really, there's like story mode to finish, but it's theoretically infinite, but still, I'm looking at a game like Puyo Puyo Tetris that still has a lot of production value, right?
Right.
And this game was also given some crap for sitting on shelves next to games being not a full price game, but I think it launched at like $40.
Yeah.
And I had no problem paying $40 for that game because I will play that game forever. It's freaking a great version of Tetris, a great version of Puyo Puyo, which are two just infinitely fun puzzle games. Plus, there was this completely bananas dimension hopping storyline with anime characters too. And it wasn't fully animated, but it did have tons of voiceover work. But I think because it didn't have the full on animated cutscenes that Sushi Striker has, I think that was part of why they were able to not sell it at $50. And Nintendo looked at it and said, we need to try to recoup the cost of this game. So ta-da. But then again, the 3DS version, I don't know how much of that stuff is in the 3DS version as well, which is apparently the superior version because of the touchscreen controls. Mm. So yeah, I don't know. Sushi Striker's weird on every conceivable level.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like at $30 I could, you know, cause my daughter's 9 now and like, am I dropping $50 for a 9-year-old? Like, no,
not when Bomb Chicken exists, Dan.
Well, not when Bomb Chicken exists, not when there's other stuff coming out. Like, we still haven't bought the Octo expansion, you know, but like on top of that,
expansion's like, good
for $30. That's like a, yeah, all right, fuck it. You know, we'll get that.
Yeah, $30, I probably would have caved and picked it up. But,
you know, but at 50, it's like, oh, man, she's not going to get $50 out of that.
Yeah.
I did see today, I was browsing around on the PlayStation Store, I don't browse the eShop as frequently, but the PlayStation Store had pre-orders up for two pretty big PC titles that came out last year, which was Hello Neighbor, which is like a first-person survival horror kind of thing, from what I can tell. I haven't seen too much of it, but it looks like, I watched a trailer on the PS4, and it looks way more bananas than I thought it was. And Slime Rancher, which is like a first-person slime ranching game, which I know doesn't do a great job describing it, but were those on the eShop? Did you happen to see either of those? Because I feel
I saw
Slime Rancher.
Hello Neighbor comes out July 27th on the Switch. Okay. I just looked it up now. And Slime Rancher doesn't sound familiar to me.
I feel like Slime Rancher would do really well on the Switch.
But there's so many games, indie games, coming out on Switch. It's, I mean...
Which is great, because like my kids are really into the games that people play on YouTube, apart from Fortnite. They're still not into that. But Hello Neighbor, Slime Rancher, Bendy and the Ink Machine, still the Five Nights at Freddy's. So if that stuff is coming to Switch,
Slime
I'm
Rancher
buying
isn't
the all those games on Switch. Okay. As of yet, anyway.
As of yet, yeah. They're what did I just see? They posted a tweet. Regarding requests for Slime Rancher on other consoles, we're currently focused on PC and Xbox, but in the future anything is possible. This is from August 2017, so this is excruciatingly outdated. Let's see if I can find anything.
But yeah, like I will get Hello Neighbor on the Switch for my kids, and I don't know if that makes me a bad parent. Maybe I should do some more research. But you know, they're into it, and like that's another one of those games that like a ton of people have made like fan stuff about and songs and all of that nonsense.
There seems to be a lot of people asking for it on Switch, but I can't see any news that's like, this is coming out on Switch. So
it seems like it would be really, really good on the Switch.
Yeah, all right.
All right. Anyway, so it's just a thing I noticed.
Well, show your daughter's Bomb Chicken.
I will. Do it.
I showed it to my niece and she loved it.
All right, then.
My niece is 12.
So, anyway, what do you got going on?
Well, I'm working myself ever closer to booting up Uncharted Horizon on my PS4. I'm getting there.
It's never going to happen.
I'm almost there. I really am. I will say that I tried to turn on my PS4 the other day and the controller battery is dead. That's something I'm not used to. Coming off of Wii U and Switch, where the battery life for the controllers is like, you know, I think it was like 60 plus hours on the Wii U Pro controller, and it's like 40 to 50 hours on the Switch Pro controller. And like, I haven't played my PS4 in a while, and the thing was fully charged, and now it's dead. So
I don't know. Mine lasts forever. Or at least they seem to. I don't know. I have two of them.
Yeah, I don't know. So
that's probably unfair because I am frequently switching between the, like, whichever one happens to be closer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
So the process is I want to finish, I wanted to finish Runner 3, Bomb Chicken, which I did, and now I'm working on finishing Blossom Tales, and then I'm going to finish West of Loathing.
Okay.
Those have my full attention right now. I'm in the final dungeon in Blossom Tales, and it is still just as delightful and wonderful as I originally thought it was. So, yeah, just keep coming across fun new puzzles and, you know, getting lost in the overworld. I finally uncovered all of the map. I'm feeling pretty beefed up as far as my items are concerned. And I think, like, just before I, you know, started putting the kids to bed, I think I was just walking into the room where either the last mini boss is or the last boss is. So that's going to be done. I was really hoping to have it done by the show, but, you know, I had to play other games as well.
Sure.
And I did play a tiny bit more West of Loathing, just because John asked me to, and it made me laugh a few more times, and I can't wait to finish that one off as well, because that game's also amazing.
Yeah, I still need to get to that one.
Yeah, that one you will most definitely enjoy, and I do still heartily recommend everybody try Bomb Chicken. I wanted to see that game in the bestseller section on the eShop, because the game totally deserves it. It's so simple and so effective, and I was Nitrome did an AMA on the Nintendo Switch Reddit this morning, and I asked them a question, and they answered it. It was cool.
That is cool.
So, hooray! Let's get to work, huh? We did the summer series. We did month two, and we needed to play Gremlins 2, the new batch for NES, and Echo the Dolphin for the Genesis. Since Echo is clearly the main event, we're going to hold that one off until the second half. And,
yeah, one of these games I liked... and one of these games is Echo the fucking Dolphin, Chris.
Oh, boy. I have a lot of thoughts on Echo the Dolphin, because that was quite a ride. But Gremlins 2. Let's talk about Gremlins 2 first, which I found to be a perfectly adequate game.
I liked it quite a bit. The main thing that I found so... nostalgic about Gremlins was having to jump a half second before you hit the edge of the platform.
Yeah, I got caught in a lot of traps like that, where I'd fall off a platform and then it was like playing E.T. on Atari, because they respawn you like at the very last conceivable pixel. So if you try to jump straight forward without backing up a little bit first, I just kept falling in the hole over and over and over again. I was like, I'm with the guy. So angry.
It definitely is a game that shows its age as far as that is concerned. But overall...
Yeah, overall, this is...
I thought this was great.
Let me just say right off the bat, I haven't seen either Gremlins movie since I was a kid.
Right.
And I don't... As somebody who has not seen Gremlins 2 since, like, it came out on VHS, this game made zero sense to me. I could not follow the plot at all.
It does a decent job. So if you in the
where
Gremlins
the
2
hell
movie,
are you?
In
you're
the,
up,
you're
first
in
off,
a building.
I do not remember there being this many tomatoes. Okay.
First of all, you are clearly misremembering the film then. It is lousy with tomato. Second of all, in the movie, if I am correct, and I consulted my smoking hot genius wife about this, who is way better on this kind of shit than I am. We're not talking about Echo yet. In there. In the movie, in Gremlins 2, David, the son, Gizmo's... owner, master? I don't know.
Adopted father found him at like a Chinese knockoff store or something.
Yeah. He gets a job working for like a television company or like a television studio, but the television studio is in a building that seems to also have a department store, like on one floor, and some other shit on some other floors, and like the television studio is up a couple of floors, and that's where the game takes place. Like, you're making your way through the building, which is why you were in like the office section in the beginning, and then the TV cameras are there later.
See, now I thought it was the office section in the beginning because I'm looking around. This looks like an office, but then there's bottomless pits everywhere and giant tomatoes jumping around.
Well, it's been a while since you've worked in corporate America, Chris, but things have really changed.
There are giant tomatoes.
I mean, you work for the government. There's the private sector is really, very, very different, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, we just have giant peppers, so.
Right. I mean, tomatoes are where the innovation is. The private sector is, we all know, where the innovation happens. So, no, it does do a fairly decent job of following the story. What did you think of the graphics?
Very nice. This was I think most everything looked really nice. The boss gremlins, I think, looked really great. The one gremlin that spit the fire on the angle looked really nice.
Yeah, that guy looked great.
The little ones with the helicopters on their head, I think, looked kind of crappy. In all, I think the art direction was... I mean, this did a great job of capturing the feel of the movie. Those cutscenes, for as little sense as they make, if you're not familiar with the movie, they all looked really nice.
Right.
So I'd say, visually speaking, I would give this... Or what we're doing, out of 5 or out of 10?
Out of 10. Out of 5 is clown shoot.
Well, if we're starting off with graphics, I would give this guy Geese graphics. I'd probably give it an 8 or a 9 out of 10.
I went with an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I'll stick with an 8.
Mostly because, like you said, there are a couple times where it's like, that didn't look so great.
Yeah, there were a few things that I'd knock it down a few pegs on. Plus, I had a hard time figuring out where Gizmo was going to like jump and land, but that has something to do with the perspective. That kind of perspective is really hard to nail when you're incorporating jumping into it. So I do think they handled it pretty well, but there were still some platforming segments that were kind of problematic because of the visuals. So,
well, and Gizmo himself looks great.
Really?
I mean,
this is really
1990
great.
NES game. So we're kind of at the end, getting towards the end of the NES life, right? Like, you know, where SNES and Genesis are a year away at this point.
And Genesis came out in 89, so...
Oh, in America? I mean,
it wasn't big in America until Sonic.
Right.
Let's see. Sega Genesis, I thought it came out in North America August 1989, yeah.
All right. So we are at the end of the NES life.
Yeah, we are on cycle, the way to the Super NES.
Yeah. So I mean, and that's kind of what gives Gremlins 2 one of the, like, just kind of this air of mystery around it to a point, because, like, kind of a weird movie to make a tie-in game for.
You know? But at the same time, this movie was huge.
It was
huge. And also the big selling thing that I remember the most from this movie, like, one of the only things I remember from this movie is Gizmo with the flaming bow and arrow.
Which is in the game.
Is in the game.
We'll get there in a minute, though. What did you think of the sound of the game?
All right. Well, so this is a Sunsoft game. Mm-hmm. So really pulling back ever so slightly to talk about the graphics again, this is something Sunsoft does well. You know, the overhead segments in Blaster Master, right. Fester's Quest. This is something Sunsoft has experience with and does well. The sound is a similar situation. I'm again going to give the sound an 8 out of 10. Good. I should have looked this up because there was somebody who wrote in to Waveback asking us to do Gremlins 2 at some point. It was in regards to something, another episode we were talking about with music by Naoki Kodaka, who was the composer to a lot of Sunsoft's, like, the Sunsoft games. I'm talking like the original Blaster Master soundtrack, Batman for NES, Journey to Silius. Really, really, really great, great Sunsoft NES games. Euphoria, just awesome stuff. In line with Kodaka's later work on the NES, my biggest gripe about it is not that the compositions are bad, because they're pretty good. They're pretty decent songs. They're not overly memorable to me. They're certainly not Kodaka's best work, in my opinion.
Sure, sure.
But they are really solid tunes. There's this bass sound that they started using towards the end of their run. You can hear this all over Euphoria as well. Mm-hmm. It's a very heavy, thorough bass sound.
Okay.
But for some reason, it always sounds ever so slightly out of tune to me.
Okay.
And that's it. They use this sound in this game as well, and it's kind of rubs me a little bit the wrong way. It's basically the same instrument set that they used for Euphoria and Journey to Silius as well. And all in all, I'd give the sound an 8 out of 10 because the music I think is very solid and it's above average, and the sound effects were not problematic to me in the least. So yeah. Thumbs up.
Yeah, I went with a 7 on this, mostly because I feel like the song in the opening office stages in like 1-1, 1-2, 1-3. I feel like those were, it sounded like something else, and I can't quite place what it is, but it sounded like a different game, and maybe that's just some me shit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm listening to that tune right now. That's probably my favorite tune in the game.
I thought it was very good. It sounds like a different game, though, to me. I don't know. Maybe it's just
got
evoking.
That slightly eerie theme to it. It is kind of generic in that way, but I like it. I really, really dug it.
I did like all of it, but like you said, there was nothing that was like, oh, this is great. This is a really good,
yeah, there's no huge standouts. Like, I guess 8 is a little high. I could agree with you on dropping that down to a 7.
Yeah.
I gravitate towards Kodaka's work so much, so.
Right.
I'll stick with my 8.
Stick with your 8. As far as gameplay is concerned, so the variety of stuff that you can do, the different things in the game, not mm-hmm. necessarily the control. We'll talk about control in a minute, but just the overall gameplay aspect. What do you go with?
I'm going to go with, I might actually, my gut's telling me to go with a 6 on this one.
Okay.
It's, there wasn't a lot of variety. You know what I mean? It's because mm-hmm. it's a pretty short game.
Very short. I beat it in like a half hour.
Yeah. I was kind of surprised when I was done with it. And, I mean, it is kind of tough.
It is tough, and it does take some time, to like kind of, well, that's more about controls though. I disagree. I went with a 7 on gameplay, and the reason I put it at a 7 was that I like the fact that after you beat each boss, you get a new weapon. That kicked it up to a 7 for me. You don't do a ton of different stuff. It's standard for the time of platforming and jumping over spikes and dodging this shit. But I thought there was enough variety in there. I thought the boss fights were pretty cool. They challenged you to do some different things. It wasn't just, oh, here's the boss pattern. I top left, and then I go to the bottom right and whatever. You had to do different things, like especially that last boss, the spider boss, I thought was really mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah, it was pretty neat.
I liked there's a bit of exploration in the game, you know, like you're still kind of wandering around to find different little like hidden alcoves that have like the little shop in there, and you get the Asian dude from the highly offensive Asian man from the first movie back, you know, making an appearance where you can buy a couple different things.
Yeah, you had like the balloon.
I liked all that.
That was kind of neat.
Yeah,
there's just,
I thought there's a decent enough variety.
It's just
a Gremlins 2 game. What the fuck can you do? Like, you're kind of handicapped.
Well, I mean, you're looking at the other kinds of stuff that Sunsoft did with these kinds of games. I mean, heck, even the variety in something like Fester's Quest, which I'm not remembering extraordinarily well. That game was slow as hell. But, I mean, something like the overworld segments in Blaster Master, you kept running into, like, different kinds of things and different kinds of enemies. And at the end of the day, you're just running into like, all right, well, there's a couple of rats and spiders, and now there's these gremlin dudes that all act the same. And I don't, it wasn't bad.
But there were there's spikes, and there's the ball and chain, like the Morningstar thing swinging around, and just some different stuff. I thought it challenged you effectively to make your way through the levels. That was still fun.
Yeah, see, that's where I'm kind of differing from you. I didn't have a ton of fun as the game went on. Like, as I was still fighting the same gremlins over and over again towards the end. Again, not the game overstays its welcome, but I think a third set of enemies, you know, because your first set of enemies is basically like the rats and the spiders, and your second set of enemies is the different kinds of gremlins. If there had been some sort of like major change in their patterns or just something else besides adding like, well, now there's more spikes and, you know, these little spinny Morningstar things, like, I don't know, it seemed like it kind of fell off. If there was a third tier of things to really deal with, I think I would have gone higher on there. But yeah, that's where
I'm at. Fair. What about the control of the game itself?
I'm gonna go 7 out of 10.
Exactly, because while where I was.
It gave me some problems, but at the same token, it's kind of part and parcel with doing platforming segments from this perspective. And you know, it didn't feel loose. It felt nice. I guess, you know, I was having a real problem with the tomatoes because of the arc when you throw them in the beginning, but I think that was kind of the point. Was that you?
Yeah, it's the weakest weapon. You get through it.
So yeah, it was good. Just solid.
Yeah, I went with a 7 on the control. It takes a little bit to get used to because, like, games just are not made like this anymore. Like, even the retro games that come out now are much more forgiving. Like, this game's tough.
It is.
You had, like, so many games of this time period, and like the festering pile of garbage that we're going to talk about in a little bit, you have to learn to play that particular game. Whereas when you play a first-person shooter now, you play... Sorry, Tiff just came in and was not very happy about my festering pile of garbage comment. Like, when you play Gremlins 2, you have to learn how to play Gremlins 2. Gizmo controls very differently than any other game you would have bought in 1990. Like, the timing of the jumps, the arc of his jump, the weight of the character, the weight of your weapons, the arc of your weapon, like all of that stuff.
Your ability to turn around
once
in midair.
You get into all of that, it's like, yeah, you know, like once you get all of that stuff, it's like, okay, I see, like I feel good in this world now. I'm ready to go.
Hmm.
So.
Complete side note, I just realized that I had an opportunity. I was in Target earlier today, and I
love
was
Target.
Just walked past the video games and they had Mega Man X Legacy Collection out on the shelves. I was like, huh, I didn't think that came out today. It didn't come out today. It doesn't come out till the 24th. They broke street date at my local Target. I could have picked that up today. Oh, well. Back to Gremlins. So where were we?
Story.
I don't know.
I mean, I went with a 6. Because it doesn't do a very good job of explaining the story if you don't know what the story is.
I gave it a 2 out of 10.
But the cutscenes look really good.
Yeah, but I gave them credit for that in the graphics. I'm giving the story a 2.
All right, fair. That's fair. I mean, there's not much to say. There's no, like, some text would have been nice.
Like, the guy's got, like, a what is it, a hairdryer or a camera or a stapler or something that's shooting electricity and... There's an electric gremlin.
It's the phone. He gets the gremlin out of the phone. It's a whole thing.
Like, see, now I know that if the gremlins get wet, they shoot more gremlins out of their back. But they don't show that in the game. They show a drop of water hitting nothing, and then Gizmo's back and a bunch of balls shooting out of it, and then gremlins. Like, if you don't know any better, you don't know what connects those images together.
All right, I'm going to knock it down to a 5. It doesn't affect my overall average by 1 point since I had to round anyway. What about replayability?
If you're a Gremlins fan, go live the dream. I don't know. I'm going to put this smack dab in the middle. It's not unplayable, but I am not compelled to go back to it. So replayability, I'm giving a 5.
See, for me, I was waffling between a 7 and an 8. And the reason for that is not because I am a huge Gremlins fan, which I am. I do love the franchise. But it is the type of game that I think lends itself to speedrunning and, you know, really trying to figure out the best way through the game. And once you get comfortable enough in the world, it is short. And it was, you know, I had fun with it. So
between a 7 and 8. I'm still sticking with my 5 because I think if you're not into the speed running, then there's not a lot to go back for, you know? There's not a lot of cool secrets laying around.
Yeah, that's fair. So what do you go overall? Gremlins 2, the new batch, 1990 Nintendo NES game.
7 out of 10.
That's where I am, 7 out of 10. I think this is absolutely worth your time if you've never played... if you've never played the Gremlins 2, the new batch on the NES, watch the movie first. Watch both movies, because you really shouldn't watch the second one without the first one. Watch both of these films, then go play this game. It's a really good game that really shouldn't be as good as it is for being a Gremlins tie-in.
You know what's wild?
What's that?
The Game Boy game's a totally different game.
Hmm.
It's got a different soundtrack and everything. But yeah, Gremlins really? 2 New Batch on Game Boy has... It's a platformer, side-scrolling platformer. And okay. The cutscenes all have, like, you know, words at the bottom. So there's really nice-looking cutscenes and whatnot, and they tell the story. And you're a little gizmo jumping around and stuff, and it's pretty rad. I'm looking at a YouTube video, there's a bonus stage, and, you know, using boxing gloves, he's super cute. This game looks great.
Well, play both of them.
Yeah. Play both of them. Go nuts.
All right.
All right.
So Gremlins 2, 7 out of 10.
There you go. All right, everybody. We're going to take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna finally learn what Dan thinks of Echo the Dolphin for Sega Genesis, because he's been real quiet about his feelings thus far.
I've buried the lead quite a bit.
Yeah. You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer Podcast from Geekade.com. Stick around.
And now, here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
There aren't a lot of people brave enough to compare the relationship, Chris, between X-Men's Colossus and Shadowcat with Michael and Jan from The Office. But Jonathan and Patty, well, you can bet your ass they are. That's not all, Chris. This week... they cover mind control, they cover clones, they cover heroic happy endings, how the Reavers got into Harvard, and more. Hear it all, plus a fair share of colorful language, you know, like poop and fart and stuff. In Mutant Musings, episode 28, X-23 is the new 30.
I would not bet my ass for anything. What little I have is precious to me.
Yeah, you do kind of have, like, I mean, I know this is a little inside baseball. Do you have kind of a flat ass, Chris? I mean, we all talk about it behind your back.
I talk about it in front of my back. It's just a fact of my life. My belts have to be very tight. No ass.
No, you don't. You got to do squats, Chris.
It doesn't matter. It's genetic. You know, my dad has no ass. Mm. Just like my father and his father before him.
Bunch of assless men. We look terrible in chaps.
Ain't no booty over here. Next. Why no? My hype levels for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate haven't lowered in the least. They have not. In the least. That's why Matt and myself are continuing our trek through the expansive soundtracks of the Super Smash Bros. Series, this week focusing on the music of The Legend of Zelda and Kid Icarus franchises. Another fresh set of reimaginings of some of Nintendo's most iconic tunes is ready to reach your ears, and all you have to do to listen is put up with me and Matt geeking out about it between tracks. Don't miss Wave Back Episode 60, Super Smash Bros. Volume 3, Zelda and Kid Icarus.
You know, Chris, there are times when DIY projects are absolutely the right call. Screen printing your own t-shirts with little to no experience, not one of them.
I can concur with that.
Especially when you've been drinking. Unfortunately for Alex Whatley, that's exactly what he decided to do, much to his life chagrin, and while the results were messy, the beer was delicious. Discovered just how poorly things went in drinking beer while doing stuff, 3 stars above the cloud.
You can catch all this great stuff, plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at Geekade.com. And we're back. We've got our dorsal fins ready to go.
Mm.
We are
starboard,
ready.
Pointed somewhere.
Yar. It is time to talk about Echo the Dolphin. I like this game. I liked it.
Oh my god.
I liked things about it. Let me put it better that way. There are things about this game that I liked.
This game, Chris, Echo the Dolphin, is the War of the Worlds of video games. And that has continued to... Could you hear that?
I heard aquatic mammals.
I have been talking about this game so loudly and angrily in my house that my fucking Amazon Alexa, who we've named Echo, she keeps perking up. Echo, I don't need to talk to you. Turn your blue light off. She did. She listened. I keep saying shit about this game, and it's like, oh, I don't know anything about that. Like, the game doesn't know anything about it either. What a fucking dumpster fire this shit is. It's the worst game ever made.
I cannot agree with you on that. I've played way worse than this.
You're
this game
wrong,
is
Chris.
Way weirder than it is bad. And that's saying something, because there's lots about this game that isn't great. But I like first half of this game I think is pretty interesting. I am on board with the first half of this game, where it's just like you're a dolphin. The controls are relatively nice. It's easy to get lost. This game needs a freaking map. Needs a walkthrough. But, you know, you're doing this business where you swim around, you find a crystal, you find the connecting crystal, you make the crystal disappear, you eat fish. I do wish you didn't have to do the whole oxygen thing. That bugs me, the oxygen timer. I don't love that. Like, I get that it's realistic, but really, if you're going for realism in this game.
That's the realism in this game.
That shoots
that you
out
have
the
to
window.
Go breathe.
Because that's the thing. Like, I think it's a really neat, fun game about a dolphin. And then halfway through, it just completely goes off the rails when you run into a giant DNA strand that says, you will go back 55 million years. There you will find my missing globe. In Atlantis, where there's a time machine.
In Atlantis. Where there's a time machine that the Atlanteans have set up for a dolphin.
For a dolphin,
fucking
yes.
Dolphin.
A specific dolphin time machine.
What kind of fucking foresight? They couldn't have prevented the collapse of their fucking city, but they had enough foresight to predict and build a time machine that only a dolphin could operate. And how the dolphin got there, who the fuck knows? What crystal are you supposed to hit first? I don't know. They're all the same fucking color, Chris.
They
I get
are
to
all
a crystal,
the same color.
And it says, you can't pass. And I think to myself as I'm looking at the game on my television screen, why the fuck can't I pass? I could swim right past it. There's more than a dolphin-sized gap. Just fucking go around it. But no, I can't. I gotta go back and find some other bullshit. Some fucking other asshole didn't tell me anything about what I'm supposed to do. The script is stilted at best. And let's talk about how this game starts. You don't even start by doing anything. You're just swimming around. You're just being a dolphin. It's just a dolphin simulator at that point. And if that's where this game would have stayed, that would have been fucking fine. If you were just a dolphin simulator. And look, I'm a dolphin and I can do a flip. And you talk to a dolphin and he says some bullshit about going fast and jumping out of the water. And you're like, all right, that sounds like fun. I'm going to be fast and I'm going to jump out of the goddamn water. And then you jump out of the water and you get the Pac-Man fucking kill screen effect. It doesn't look like a whirlwind or a tornado. It's just a bunch of horse shit that appears on the fucking screen for no reason. And then you're left with no explanation, Chris. None.
So I got to ask, how much did you spend with this game before this summer series? Like, did you play it back in the day too?
Yes, I played it back in the day and went, I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do. I don't have time for this. I don't want to be a dolphin.
I thought that was
not that into it.
I really liked the way the game controlled. Like, yes, jumping up in the air and then like that Pac-Man kill screen bullshit, as you called it, that was like freaky as hell. But then when you're not doing that and you're doing like, you know, swimming around and jumping out of the water, I thought that was pretty fun. It felt good. I like the way this game feels.
I disagree entirely. This game controls like shit.
I gotta disagree with you. I think this game controls pretty great. It's, I mean, considering
game,
what it is,
this
I
game
mean,
needs an analog stick.
I mean, yeah, it would benefit from an analog stick, but I mean, I guess my mind just wasn't there because my buddy Greg and I played a lot of this game. I don't know that he ever figured this game out, but we got, when we played this when we were kids, we got to, I don't think we got to the DNA strand. I remember some of the relatively clever things you do. Playing through it this time, since I had played so much of it back when I was younger, I just went straight to a guide. I didn't try to figure the rest of this game out because I already knew it was obtuse as fuck. So I just went straight with a guide, and I remember like some of the clever things that you do. Like, there's a crazy up current, so you push a block and you hide behind it as it falls through the up current. Like, little things like that I think are pretty cool and pretty clever. They reuse that stuff too much.
That's how physics works. That's how physics works. There's an up current. I know. I'll just put a block in front of it, and instead of the up current pushing the block up, I'll just go with that.
Well, the up current isn't strong enough to move a giant stone.
Are you fucking kidding me? Have you seen how fast Echo moves if you get sucked into that up current? That was the strongest
up current. Only if I'm swimming with it. I don't know.
It's the strongest up current in the history of video games. It was stupid.
Fair enough.
Fucking dumb.
So,
but how are you, like, all right, look. I hate this game. In case it hasn't been clear, I hate this game. However, looking at it objectively, how are you supposed to figure this game out?
That I don't know. Like I said, we played a lot of this game when we were younger, and I mean, just without drawing maps. And even then, even with drawing maps, it's hard because a lot of the backgrounds repeat themselves. Like, this game is very much a labyrinth that you got to like really remember your way through. Finding all
Boring
the crystals and
as
things,
shit.
Finding all the crystals, I could not imagine taking the time to figure that out.
Apparently, in what I was reading, in the Game Gear version, which was the 8-bit port. Mm-hmm. I think of this because it didn't come out on the Master System here, but it came out
in
Master System Europe and whatnot. Apparently, in the Game Gear version, they color coded the crystals, which would have been fucking helpful.
Yeah, that would have been helpful.
Like, I hit the silver one first, and then I go to the gold one or whatever bullshit it was. But
that would have been like this game has some serious design flaws.
We're professionals. Let's do this correctly. Graphics. What do you think? Overall?
Jeez.
This is the strongest category I give it, because I actually give the graphics an 8.
I'm right there with you. I would give the graphics on this and if I could give it an 8.5, but we're not dealing with decimal points here. I would give it an 8. It's not quite a 9 because there is a lot of repeated stuff here.
There's way too much.
Yeah,
there's way too much repetition.
Yeah, there's some blocks that seem to repeat themselves a lot. You know, like you'll look at the stones and sometimes you can just kind of see like, all right, this is a repeated texture, that right. kind of thing. But
the Pteranodon looks great.
The Pteranodon looks so stupid.
I mean, it looks stupid. You're a dolphin.
Well, no, in a single still screenshot, he looks fine, but he's like, there's no animation. He's just like,
yeah, his mouth moves. His mouth animates. Chris, don't you know that's how pteranodons fly? They go map, 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 and they fucking move across the sky like graceful angels.
Cracked me up. That shit was hilarious. Really, things animate really well. The colors are very bold. There are things that the graphics I don't think communicated very well. Like, I don't know what those little spiky ball things you shoot around are that break the walls, which is something that I, again, also not, never would have figured that kind of stuff out without a guide. Like, I just never would have pieced together that you're supposed to move those things around that way. It's just weird.
Yeah, or that you're supposed to knock that conch shell into
the little glowy
blocks.
Conch shell. Yeah, that's another thing.
Because that makes a ton of sense.
That is very not great, but I mean, geez, the giant octopus, the giant whale, like the water itself. This game, I think, really, really looks nice. It's one of the best looking Genesis games.
Everything comes off the rails after. What did you think about the sound of this game?
Sound is such a mixed bag because I really like the music in this game. I think the music is really impressive. It's really atmospheric. I think it gives the exact tone that this game is supposed to have. I'm really, really super impressed with the music. The sound effects, like,
are awful.
I don't know that awful's the right word because I get what they were going for. Like, the sound of Echo getting hurt is like terrifying, and it makes me never want to make Echo get hurt because it's just like, like, oh god, he's getting hurt, that's terrible. The problem is that your sound wave thing is so loud, and there are parts of the game where you need to use it repeatedly and it just becomes really obnoxious.
It's grating.
It is. It's incredibly grating. Everything else, like as far as the sound, I think works really well. You know, the getting hurt sound effect is like, I don't want that to happen again. I like that neat sound that the crystals make. Like, they sound really cool. Like, I feel like that kind of foley doesn't come across in Genesis games all that well, all that often. You know, you think of right. Genesis sound effects, you don't think of something that really sounds like what it's supposed to be. You sound like video game sound effects, but like,
right,
if this giant crystal was there and you knocked into it, I feel like it would make that kind of a sound. I think the sound is also pretty great, but the grating of that noise
awful.
is knocking it down. So I'm actually going to stick with an 8 on this, because as much as I dislike that, I liked everything else so much, because I do really love the music in this game.
It gets a 5, second highest rating that I gave. This game. Gameplay. Shit that you have to do. Yeah, fuck this shit. All right, so here's where I stopped playing, Chris. All right, because I didn't finish. I have finished every other game that we've done, I think. I have, anyway.
Tell
I
me you at
be
least
wrong.
Watched a YouTube playthrough of the rest of this game.
I did watch a YouTube playthrough.
Okay, good. Because
I stopped.
It's fascinating.
After the octopus. I got to the octopus and went, I cannot, nothing in my house will be in one piece if I continue to fucking play this game. So there's escort missions. Fuck you. First of all, there, the terrible auto scroll that happens at the end when you're in the Atlantean, whatever.
Oh boy, yeah. Oh,
garbage.
So far off the rails.
Garbage. Garbage, garbage, garbage. The actual getting around in the world is, I mean, I suppose, now Tiff loves this game. Okay, so as Tiff and I are playing this last night, she was like, I'm gonna leave because you're really angry and I really love this game. And she said, like, she was like, I played this game for months and months, and I can see why you would play this game for months and months, because the level design is absolute garbage. There is no indication of what you should do or where you should go. It basically seems like they made a game where they went, and people just fucking swim around for a while, and maybe they'll find some shit to do, and if not, you're swimming around as a dolphin. That doesn't make a good... That's not good game design. There's no indication of where you are supposed to go or what you are supposed to do. The creatures that you talk to are not very helpful. I mean, the most helpful thing that you get is swim slowly past eight arms.
Mm-hmm.
And even that is not very helpful.
I don't know. We were able to figure out a bunch of this stuff when we were younger, too. And it did take a lot of time and a lot of mapping. But, I mean, this was... We're talking like pre-Super Metroid here. Like, this is similar to that kind of experience where it's you're just supposed to keep moving around until you figure it out. You're supposed to get out some freaking graph paper and map this game. And
but there's nothing memorable enough to map.
It's similar to the original Metroid. I mean, it's just, yeah, all the textures repeat themselves, but the geometry is relatively different from, like, you just got to move a screen, draw it. Like, that's how you do that. I mean, that's how I did it. That's how I did it for the original Metroid as well.
I mean, sure, but...
Went screen by screen and drew it. I'm going to give the gameplay itself, as far as, like, the overall variety... I'm going to give it the same rating I gave Gremlins, because I just don't think there was enough different stuff. And in fact, I'm actually going to knock it down to a 5, because some of that stuff gets super cumbersome. Like, they did that whole, like, you know, block trick with the down current. They did it a bunch of times. And then they did the stupid thing where you have to bring the little the spiky ball things by shooting your little sound waves around. They did that a bunch of times. And
it's just boring.
There's this one block situation toward the end where, like, the whole picking up of a block where you go down and then you press up and Echo will, like, bring the block up on top of his nose. There's this one spot towards the end of the game where you have to do that, like, 6 times in a row, and it's so cumbersome that...
Yeah, where you're moving it between the columns and whatnot.
Exactly. I love the idea of this game. I really do, and I am a fan of this game, and but these gameplay elements, I think, were some of its weakest. So, yeah, I give it a 5.
I'm at a 4 on this one. What about the control of this game? This is, I think, where you and I are probably going to differ the most.
Yeah, I think this game controls great. I think I was really, really happy with the controls. I give the controls an 8. There wasn't anything in this that felt wrong to me. I mean, you're controlling an underwater creature, not Pac-Man in a maze. Like, he's not going to stop on a dime. But, you know, the way you mash the button to swim faster and the feeling of, you know, going fast and then shooting out of the sky and landing in another... you know, just planning your trajectory and going across, the little dash move that he has feels good. Like, I think the controls are great. I'm going 8.
3.
Why?
Because it controls like shit. Because you know what's not fun? Controlling a creature like you're actually underwater. Like, I understand the realism of it, but it's not fun.
Well, it doesn't control like super realistic. The you can still stop Echo at any moment. Like, it's not like there's this crazy inertia going on. It's
no, you're
it's
you're not
very
wrong.
Video gamey. It's it,
but
it,
it's I
some
not,
of the better water controls I've played in any video games. Really,
I don't disagree with that. Does not make them good though. I did not have fun. Now, to be fair, okay, part of that might be the method in which I am playing it. And that is using a third-party controller on my PC that has a pretty good D-pad for everything else I've played, but does not have that sort of circular D-pad that the Genesis had.
Yeah, your heart's also
see
filled with
that
hatred.
Being better, I wanted an analog stick. Playing through
explaining what you're using is making more sense to me. See, I played it this time with an Xbox 360 controller on my Raspberry Pi, and
which has that circular
D-pad. Yeah. That's why it never even occurred to me to think like, yeah, an analog stick would be great for this. And you know, in retrospect, yeah, an analog stick would be pretty great for this. But again, you can't move in 360 degrees. You have, you know, it's everything is, you know, up, down, left, right, and diagonals. So,
no, sure, I get that. I had a hard time playing through this last night. I had a hard time making some of the jumps to hit the angles right using a standard D-pad. So again, like I said, it might just be the method. I don't think I would enjoy it that much more. Other than that, I did not enjoy the attacking, like the dash move.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like there was too much of a delay between when you hit something and when you could dash again to get through stuff.
I thought it had a really good rhythm to that.
I did not care for it.
Huh.
I was already so angry by that point, though. Like,
you just hate dolphins. I get it.
I do. Fuck dolphins. Just be in my tuna, please. I'm trying to get around those goddamn jellyfish. And like some of the shit that you had to do, like that first puzzle in the underwater caves, the first time you have to move like that glowing conch shell to the control to like move that and bounce it off the wall and dash and hit it into the rocks. Like I found all of that very cumbersome and not fun. Like I did not enjoy doing that.
Yeah, fair enough.
What about the story, Chris? Cause the story of this game,
I don't want to give it a number. Can I just say no?
It's such a finely crafted masterpiece. This is where I feel about this game the way you feel about War of the Worlds. I really honestly, because of just the absolute nonsensical bullshit.
I give it a 2 out of 10 because it deserves 2 points for being so insane. Just I can't give it no points because someone came up with this and it was, I mean, it is a story. It's not like there were like major plot holes. They're just completely implausible. It's not like they explained things and just like work. They didn't explain things. Like, no, the Atlanteans totally built this time machine for dolphins. And like, okay, all right, you get a point for that. You get a point for being that crazy and stupid, because that's crazy and stupid.
And it could have been sort of interesting if maybe there was some backstory about why the Atlanteans might have been,
or maybe
so into
not
dolphins.
The Atlanteans, maybe some like ancient Atlantean dolphins built it or something. Like, I don't know. We're already talking two dolphins and other sea life. Like, there's so much wrong with the second. Why is it a giant DNA strand in the middle of the ocean? And why do you need to travel all the way back to like prehistoric times to gather the pieces of the? I didn't know what he meant by globes.
No.
Find my globe. I'm looking for a globe, not a couple of red balls. Like,
those did not
piece together for me.
The
story, the
DNA
is
strand
so
looked
insane.
Exactly like the rocks that you were pushing around.
So completely insane. Yeah, story, I give it a 2 just for its sheer ballsiness of being so brazenly insane.
use this call to fuck it. And I hated that too. Fuck that shit. You get different, like as you go throughout the game and you're getting upgrades to your dolphin call, it all still sound, it's still that same repetitive noise, but like you talk to one dolphin and it's like, oh, use this fucking call, or maybe it was a fucking crystal or whatever, and this will call the pteranodon and he'll like pick you up. It's like, why is this happening? That was
Can we again talk about just, I think the effect of the time travel really needs to be discussed, because
you're 55 million years into the past to the time of dinosaurs.
So if you've never played this before, or if you've never gotten to the time machine itself, what you do is you go into this little ball looking thing and you shoot your little thing and it bounces back and forth, and then Echo just starts spinning around. Which is hilarious because he's a dolphin.
Right.
But the way he starts spinning around is not like cool looking in any way, shape, or form. It's just like you're trying to spin around in the game without moving. Eventually, it switches over to what it should have been the entire time, which is just the dolphin looking forward and then moving in a circle instead of like shifting his body in weird circles motions. And then there's space. You know, you're just floating through space.
Naturally.
And then you're in a different time. It is an incredibly stupid sequence that it's happens so more dumb. Than once. It's so dumb.
So dumb.
It was very poorly designed.
After some horribly written exposition.
Oh, boy. No, the writing's not great. And another thing with the... I feel like presentation should be one of the things that we rate these games on, because presentation is slightly problematic in this game, because you've got the way they deliver the text in this game is such a crazy double-edged sword, because on one hand it's done against this backdrop of this really, really cool water effect.
Yeah.
Like it's just really, really awesome looking, but instead of it being like text, all the letters just kind of like float in from outside of the screen from different places and then form the words.
Yeah, get it? Because it's underwater, Chris.
It just looks like something on like a high school news program. It looks bush league and it looks so out of place because the letters are just like oddly shiny and cartoonish, like an old car commercial or something. It's just stupid.
It looks like the kind of thing that your kid brings to you and they're like, "Daddy, look what I made," and you have to go, "Uh-huh." It's awesome.
Yeah. And it's done against this gorgeous water effect in the backdrop. It's such a weird presentation thing. Like there must have been a better way to do this. And I know that the people who made this game wanted to tell this insane story, and there just was a better way to do it than the way the words work in this game. It's just really bad.
And I think that's the other problem I have overall with the story, is that you have this batshit insane story. And if you're going to go that far and then stop where you do by not giving me nearly enough of this batshit insane story, like, this needed a whole lot more exposition.
A little bit.
I needed more. I needed a lot more. Because the main character, like, I didn't give a shit about
that's a very good point. I didn't give a shit about Echo. Echo didn't have
personality.
And like
whatsoever.
Link has more personality than Echo. Yeah. And I'm talking like Link in A Link to the Past or something. There's nothing that Echo did besides the heartbreaking sound of him getting hurt that made me feel for Echo. And this kind of like this game wants you to take it seriously. And I feel like there's the start of something there that could have done that with this kind of batshit bananas storytelling, but there are these few things that it just doesn't get right enough. I mean, it almost reeks of like really early Hideo Kojima, you know? Like it's that kind of insane and just like wanting you to do, the game wants you to feel things without earning them properly.
Yeah.
When it comes to the story.
It's like,
and it's
like Ready Player One.
Still just haven't seen bad. It.
Don't.
So,
replayability. 1. Why would you go do this again?
I mean, really, I feel like the replayability is high on this one, because...
All right, fine. I'll kick it up to a 2, because this is the kind of thing where you would be like, have you seen this game about this dolphin? There's a fucking dinosaur in it. And then a rip-off Alien Queen face at the end, because that's the boss fight. Oh, yeah, we didn't even talk about that. The fucking boss fight at the end is completely unlike anything else in the game. You have to knock the fucking Alien Queen's jaw off twice.
Yeah, that's weird.
Why not?
God, that
while
whole
she's
ending
shooting
sequence is
jellyfish
weird.
Out you. Just fucking stupid. Makes you do things that make no sense in the world you've created. The entire thing has been a puzzle game. Now, all of a sudden, it's a fucking shooter. And not a good one.
I would give the replayability on this a 7, because I feel like this is the kind of game that could, if you had the time to learn it and then like blast through it, I think could be really fun. the reason I wouldn't go higher, and you know, no, 7, I'm going 6 actually. Because the problem is that some of the things you have to do are very slow and cumbersome. So while the game controls seem to almost lend itself toward really cool speedrunning, it will always grind to a halt when you have to do things like, you know, escort the stupid fucking spiky ball things to break a wall or something like that.
And move that damn block down and push it through the fucking current. And
but
no.
All things considered, yeah, I would give this more replayability than Gremlins, but not by it. Yeah, that's the thing. Basing it off of my opinion of Gremlins, I would much rather replay this game because I think it's more interesting. I had more fun with this one, so I'm sticking with my original 7. I'm going 7, even though a bunch of it's cumbersome. I feel like just the feeling of accomplishment from being able to play through this game well, I think would be worthwhile.
How far did you make it through the game? Like, did you finish it?
I finished it with a walkthrough. Yeah.
Okay, you did play through. Okay.
Yeah. And it was weird and, again, cumbersome and kind of a pain in the ass, but with spending the time with the walkthrough, I did it and it was cool.
Because like I don't want to give the wrong impression that I don't like weird games. Like I don't want
we
that.
Know
like,
that.
I like weird shit. I love Rivet King. You know what I mean? Like that is a game I adore. I love Mr. Mosquito. Yeah. That kind
of, this is just a different kind of weird. This isn't quirky weird. This is insane.
But see, I feel about this game, and maybe this might hit on it, Chris. I do not like Mystery Science Theater 3000. It's not a thing I'm into. I feel like if you like Mystery Science Theater 3000, you like Echo the Dolphin.
I mean, it's true in my case. I don't know that I see the correlation, but all right.
It's objectively not a good game.
I disagree. I think it's a very interesting game. I think its interestingness outweighs its bad qualities.
See, I feel like that's the MS3TK argument. Of like, this sucks, but there's some interesting shit behind it. You know what I mean?
MST3K is making fun of things that suck, and there's like a certain ironic joy you can get out of watching crappy movies. But like this one is, I think gameplay wise, there's enough that's interesting and entertaining about this that made me want to stick with it. And right. I'm glad I have played through it now. See, I'm looking at a little gameplay video of the Master System one. He's doing something so cool. He's using the there's a spot that's all covered with spikes. And he's pushing the block across the spikes and breaking the spikes so he can get through. That's a neat trick.
Yeah, maybe if a dolphin would have told me that, or fucking an orca, maybe throw a turtle in there.
I don't think you can do that in the Genesis one. I think this is just a different map.
And maybe the other version is better. Whatever. Overall, Chris.
It certainly doesn't look better.
Out of 10.
7 out of 10.
3.
Ouch. I'm not surprised, but no, I think this game is worthy of is at least as good as Gremlins.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
I think it's one of the most interesting Genesis games. I do think maybe a 7 is being a bit generous, but seeing as I gave Gremlins a 7, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm going to retroactively give Gremlins and this a 6.
That's fair.
I think that feels more right because I don't think there are some major flaws in this game, like major flaws, but I think there's the really good skeletal structure and I'm very interested in trying Tides of Time. I've never played Tides of Time. I remember really enjoying the Dreamcast game for a little bit, but I never finished it and I could not tell you almost anything about the Dreamcast game at this point. But I've never played the second Genesis
absolutely
game.
Nothing about it.
I know it's gorgeous.
You know, I never played Chris the second Genesis game. This is just not for me.
Dan hates dolphins. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Big surprise.
And also, I did go into this with an open mind. Tiff is sitting here on the couch saying, no, you did not. But I did go into it with an open mind. I did because, like, whatever, maybe I've been wrong this whole time. I mean, I wasn't, but...
I mean, we've been wrong before. We both thought Karnov was going to be cool.
Yeah, I thought Karnov was going to be great. But no, it's just not. Man, and, like, I know that there are fans of this game that, man, do they love this game. Like, they are just big, big fans of Echo the Dolphin. And
I think it's great. I think I would love to see... I wish this game had a map. I wish this game had a Metroid-style map. Where it would...
Like, the map in Jaws for the NES is better. Because there is one. I don't even know
a real,
there is.
I mean, there might is
not be. I don't remember.
No, there's no real map in Jaws. There's an overworld and an underwater. There is that sort of thing that you can do where you hold down the button for the sound and you can get, like, a look at your surroundings.
Yeah.
But that's not, like, you know, just a real-time sub-map like in Super Metroid. That's what this game needs. And I think if it had that, I would love to see an interesting remake of this game. Just something that corrected the few problems that it had. Because I really do think, overall, I'd have to give it around a 6 out of 10. You know, and that is retroactively thinking about it more. That is kind of how I feel about Gremlins 2 as well. Is it's above average, but it's not. It doesn't quite reach greatness. Because there are just some big problems that get in its way. And they're very different reasons I give them both 6 out of 10. But really, at the end of the day... Echo is a deeply flawed but extraordinarily fascinating game to me, and I'm really glad that I've played through it now.
I am very upset that I sat through the almost hour and 20 minute long playthrough of this game.
Hour 20, huh?
Yeah.
I feel like I spent a lot more with that. I definitely spent more than an hour and 20 minutes with this game.
Yeah, it's way too much time. Just wait. That being said, I'm with you. I think that there is a good game in here. There's an interesting idea in here, but if you're going to go batshit and say, fucking go for it. Give me Talking Dolphins. Like, do the whole fucking thing. Like, make the different fucking echoes that I shoot out. Like, make them sound different. You know? Or some sort of visual upgrade as I'm getting them. Give the main character some personality. Like, when I jump out of the water, let me do some flips and shit.
I mean, you can know? Do flips and
well,
shit.
I know, but, like, make it, like, cool.
Do something with the words. The words look dumb.
Yeah, do something with the story. Make gems a different color. Like,
I don't like the air. Like, I don't like the time. Drowning.
It's way too short. Yeah. Dolphins can hold their breath for longer than 38 seconds. I mean, how ridiculous would that be? It's like like an experience if you go out on a boat and you get to see a dolphin. But if this game were realistic, you would see dolphins left and right because they'd be, shit, I almost ran out of air and I was down there for 32 seconds. Fuck. Like, game's stupid.
Wow, I'm looking at some gameplay of Tides of Time. It's pretty nice looking.
Well, have fun. Report back to us next week because I'm not playing.
I can't imagine spending the time on it. God, no. But I have games I really want to. Oh, the fucking DNA strand's back.
Oh, the DNA strand is back.
The
come
DNA
on.
Strand is totally back. I just fast forward. I'm like a minute, an hour 39.
If the DNA strand would have had eyes, it would have been a 10 out of 10.
It should have been Mr. DNA from Jurassic Park.
It should have been Mr. DNA from Jurassic Park. 10 out of 10. I would have been in.
Sold completely.
If there was a voiceover that popped up and was like, you're going to go back to the time of the dinosaurs.
Dino like, this game's DNA. 100
out of, this game's 100 out of 10. This is the best thing I've ever played. But
wow,
no.
I'm looking at the very end of Tides of Time and you're back in the alien spaceship and there's xenomorphs popping out all over the place and wow, this is this definitely, oh wow, he's back in Atlantis, it looks just like the first one.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? What is this? Oh wow, there's like a cutscene. Oh, because this is the Sega CD one. Wow, there's like a CG cutscene of Echo floating around being scared by a bunch of aliens. Oh my god, this is amazing. Oh my god, he's blowing them up with his mind. Dan, you need to watch this video.
No. No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Nope.
All right. That's gonna this is amazing. Oh my god. 90s CG. Like, it looks almost like the wow. This is incredible. I love this with every fiber of my being. All right. We gotta end this show. So that's it, everyone. That was fun, right?
Fun? It was something.
It was something. I had a blast. I'm glad I did.
That's what I like about this summer series, though. Is we, like, you know, that was the whole point of this was to go back and play games that we had played when we were kids, and maybe beat or haven't beaten in a long time, or maybe never
beat. Or if never played.
You know?
That we always wanted to.
You know, stuff that we always like, oh, we hear about this, and, you know, I mean, and looking at the rest of the list we have, we only have one more month to do this, and we have, like, 35, 40 games on here.
Yeah, we have a lot of games. Well, we'll just save them for next year, right? So the poll for the next summer series should be up soon. Dan and I will figure out what games there are, and we'll announce it in next week's show, probably. And then I'll put up the voting, and we'll take it from there. All right. There you go. That's our show. Join us next week when Dan and I will be tackling the 10, 20, 30 for July 2018, featuring games like Legendary Wings, WWF Warzone, Soul Calibur 4, and more. Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter at @_Geekade. You can also find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Geekade Chris, that's Geekade K-R-I-S. And Dan, where can the good people find you?
At Geekade Dan.
If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed here tonight, be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making the show listenable for all you folks. And we'd like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp or his website, which we have a link to in the show notes. Once again, always remember to keep your eyes on geekade.com for even more fresh original content. That is it, everybody. On behalf of Dan, Echo the Dolphin, and myself, keep playing games.